Please welcome Dean Thompson.
Thank you. Lost and found. So a while back, some Jehovah's Witnesses came to my house. And I don't mind Jehovah's Witnesses coming to my house. It's okay. Some people slam the door in their face. I'm not that kind of person. If I have time, that's okay. You don't have to start it. If I have time, I never miss the opportunity to talk a little theology. At any rate, they were telling me that following Jesus was like having a leader through the woods, having somebody to guide my path through the woods. And I told them that I like to find my own way through the woods, because that's the kind of guy I am. And they said, okay, well, how about this? Let's say you're walking along a trail through the woods. And as you're walking along, you come upon a fork in the trail. And on one side, there's a nice, clear, well-defined path, whereas on the other side, it's full of brush and brambles and vines. Which path would you take? And I told them, of course, I would take the path less trodden on. Because and we debated this for a while, and then they left, and I got to thinking, that's the way I've always been. I've always been interested in taking the path less trodden upon, because I figured that's where the cool places are going to be. That's where there's not as many people. In fact, when I go walking, a lot of time it's a debate with my wife and I. She's like, are we walking or are you going to be doing any bushwhacking? Because if you're bushwhacking, I'm not going with you. And I like to bushwhack, and I like to go out there, and I push myself. I'm like, what's on that next ridge? You know, what's up that next drainage? How far does this creek go? And I push myself to where I'm almost lost. But I can tell you right now, I have never been lost. Okay, honestly, I've never been lost. I subscribe to the attitude that Jim Bridger, the old mountain man, used to say when somebody asked him if he's ever been lost. He said, lost? I ain't never been lost. I've been confused for a day or two, but I've never been lost. And I think I've been that way as well. But I also discovered that there's benefits to being lost. Okay, you tend to find out more about your neighborhood, and you tend to find really cool places. And I first found out the cool benefits of being lost was when I moved out of South Central LA, out of Englewood, and moved up to the Palos Verdes Peninsula, and the hills and the canyons and the fields up there. It was like I had been set free. And one spring day, the hills were emerald green, the ground was soft beneath our feet. We decided to explore down this canyon, and we went down this canyon a little ways to it dropped into another canyon, a bigger drainage, and we had never gone this far. We kids didn't know if we should keep going. Would we get lost? Our parents didn't know where we were. Should we keep going? But there was a creek down there. And it was a creek, man. We had to explore this creek. So we went up this drainage, and we're busting through brush, clambering around up through this drainage until we went through this copse of willows, and we emerged into this scene, this beautiful, sunlit, dappled pool. And at the head of the pool was this thing that lured us on, the sound that we could hear, and it was the sound of falling water. And there was a waterfall there. It was, granted, it was only like 4 feet tall, but for us kids, it was magic. It was like it made it so worth it. All the scratches, the nettle stings, it was absolutely worth it. Now, if you had asked my friends a little bit later if it was worth it, they probably wouldn't agree, because a lot of the brush we were busting through was poison oak. And I didn't get it that bad, but I was hooked after that. I knew there were cool little places like that, and I always wanted to find more. Now, in high school, of course, we wanted to find cool places to go off away from adults with our friends and get high. But it was the 70s, what can I say, okay? And then finding our way back after that sometimes was kind of an adventure at times, you know, trying to find. But I was always able to find our way back. In fact, my friends came up with a name for me. They used to call me the keeper of reality, okay, because I could always find our way back. Because when we would walk, I would always look behind me to see what it would look like on the return journey. And I'd fix it in my brain. And I'd want to also name things. As we're going, oh, that's the Coyote Rock, okay, and that's the entrance oak where we made the turn. Okay, Mule Ear Meadow, the bubbly spring. And then that way, when I came back, it would always have that sense of familiarity to it. And I learned quickly in being a wildlife biologist and working out there that, contrary to popular belief, it's not a trackless wilderness out there. there's trails out there for anybody to see if you just open your eyes and look and see them. And the animals are the ones that make the trails. And they're my guide through the woods. And I think the best example of this, and they take you to cool places, or they take you to exactly where you want to go. And like I said, the best example for this was when I did my first hack site, Peregrine Falcon Release Site in Kings Canyon. And that's a whole other story that we won't get into tonight. But we're in this deep gorge, and we're constantly looking up, trying to see the falcons, and it's giving me a neck ache, a headache. It's like I needed to get up high on the ledge, high up on the canyon wall somewhere. So I found this trail, and I'm walking along this trail, and I came to this deer trail, this little deer trail. So I followed this deer trail and wound up through the brush and followed it for a while until it topped out on this ridge right by this funky-looking weird pinyon pine. And right underneath the pinyon pine, you could see a ledge where the deer had laid down in the grass. And it was a rock-rimmed ledge, about big enough for two people to comfortably sit in. And I sat down with my back against the rock, and I looked out, and the whole scope of the canyon was laid before me. And right at eye level, right there, was the release site, the Peregrine Falcon release site. It was the perfect spot. And a few days later, the Forest Service biologist wanted to see the spot that, you know, wanted to see our release site. So I told her, I said, okay, I'm going to be up the observation point up there, and it's really easy to get to. What you do is you take the main trail, you go past the rocky spot where the little bubbly spring is. Once you go past that, there's a big red snow plant on the right, and then right after that snow plant, there's a deer trail. And you just follow that deer trail up the ridge till you get to this little funky little pinyon pine, and that's where the observation point is. You can't miss it. It's right, you can't miss it. Apparently you can miss it, okay? Because I was up there waiting and waiting and waiting, and late that afternoon I finally got a radio call on the Forest Service radio. She had gone way past that area. I called her back, come back. You'd think a Forest Service biologist would know what a snow plant looks like, all right? So I met her there. We got up to the observation point. She took her pack off. She sat down on the ledge, and she looked out over the canyon, and she just said, wow, this is so beautiful. She said, how did you ever find this spot? And I just kind of shrugged. I looked at her and I said, I don't know. It's just what I do. And now I realize that it's a talent that I found by being willing to get lost or confused a little.